All right. Good Tuesday evening, everyone. Tuesday night, so that means it's the time for the Double L Show. I like that music Rob DeVore put together for us. You like it, Chris?
I like it.
Yeah, it's pretty cool. I'll have to get him to get a whole soundtrack for us sometime, maybe. All right. Well, I got you there. So how's it going back home, Chris? I'm still in Florida, obviously. So what's going on back home? How's the weather and all that good stuff?
It's a bit chilly, but otherwise than that, not much going on. Everybody is probably leaving Appomattox right now.
Oh, yeah, that's right. Appomattox River Company had a pro night, they're calling them, and Rob Choi had tonight, and he was doing shad fishing because our shad run's about to kick off up there or already has started, I would guess. It's pretty close because we used to always hit it on the way up to the fly fishing festival in April, so it's about time for the shad. Speaking of that, I got the April edition for flounder fishing, right? Yeah, wow. Got to get my stuff together. Start using that calendar. All right.
You know how to use
nothing
the
else
calendar?
Good going on?
No. Mm-mm.
Been windy as crap down here. Blew all day. I saw a lot of guys around here, local charter captains, all bailed today. It was rough, so I don't know what that's left over from. It's 85 on Saturday, 60 on Sunday, and it's been blowing hard the past 2 days down here, too. So not very pleasant, but I guess it don't matter when you're working indoors anyway. Look at Chuck said flounder. Speaking of Chuck, let's see who's in the chat room tonight. Chip's there. Double Dip. Hey, look who it is, Mr. Dole. We got a lot of guests signed in. Handlehead, Mr. Greg Chris. So with the Appomattox thing, we're losing some of our double toms, huh? Redfish Chuck, how's it going, buddy? I heard about your friend, your loss today. Sorry to hear that, bro. Robbie's made it in. Sean Russell from Texas, City of Ash. Lars is here. Well, welcome, everybody, in the chat room. Thank you. Remember, for you guests, Chris has been putting it up already, but you can register for free, and then you can chat with us tonight. Our guest has somehow, but we don't know, he is Kayak Fishing Radio, so for all of you guys are already picking on Marty, that's who you're picking at tonight. So when Kayak Fishing Radio is all in lowercase there, jumps back on you, it's Marty, it's not Chris or I, so choose your words wisely because Marty will get you.
Mr. Right. Jim Dolan is already happily hackling away there.
Is he? Oh, man. Navy puke.
Should wish a speedy recovery while he's listening in. Hope you're feeling better soon and you'll be back on your feet.
Literally. Jim took a nasty fall, I guess, a few days ago and broke his leg, so Jim's home resting, I guess, hiding behind the mic. All right, I'm not going to read the chat room because then I'll get distracted. I don't need to do that. So anyway, so the first thing, as always, we're going to keep leading up and get more and more intel on it for you, but we have the Virginia Beach Boondoggle in October on Columbus Day weekend. Getting pretty stoked about that. I was listening to Chuck's show last night, and our local film crew of Kayak Kevin and Rob Choi have volunteered to work with Rob on putting a video together, which we're all patiently waiting for Rob's video on the last boondoggle. It was pretty exciting last night hearing him talk about that, so I think he's got a pretty good video coming from the Chokoloski trip there. So, but he's got some help for him up in Virginia Beach, they said last night, so Kevin and Rob going to do some filming too for that upcoming event. Like I said, it's the first weekend in October, First Landing State Park will probably be the camping destination, and anybody who knows our region knows we have plenty of hotels and other places to stay, boardwalk with miles of it, so it's plenty of places to put everybody up, and we'll get more information as it gets closer. You can get all that information, too, on yakangler.com/boondoggle and here on Kayak Fishing Radio .com/boondoggle. So should be a great event. Yep, Chip's putting up the dates, October 5th through the 8th. Perfect time to be fishing in the Virginia Beach area. It's when all of our migratory species are fattening up for their winter trek. We'll have everything from striper, trout, flounder, a lot of good flounder about that time of the year. If the summer stays warm longly. You probably have some cobia still off the beach and plenty of structure fish, a sheep's head and tog, maybe some spades still. So,
and some
anybody interested? What's that?
And some croaker, just because Tommy V isn't here, I figure I'll say croaker, croaker, and croaker again.
That's right. And that's the best time for big croaker, too, in our area, that same time, underneath the Lesnar Bridge, when you can get some silver drum. That's what I tell the clients when we don't catch a lot of the targeted species. We'll put them on some silver drum, and especially that time of the year. There goes Chuck again, flounder. Mm-hmm. Definitely a great time for the big croaker if you're looking for those, which Tommy V will be. So, yeah, everybody, mark your calendars. Come on out. Virginia Beach, and come fish with us. We should have a great event. The week prior to that will be the TKA tournament, so we'll definitely know what's going on because we'll have probably, once again, over 200 kayakers assaulting the Virginia Beach area for that event. So be a pretty exciting end of September, beginning of October for us in Virginia Beach and the kayak world. And then Chris and I will be making the trek here. What we got? Mid-Atlantic Saltwater Expo is the end of March. That's going to be a really good show up in Richmond. So anybody in that area wants to come on out. They've got a full hall of all saltwater fishing, everything from boat guys, kayak. Kayak Kevin will be there with us. And Chris and I will be in our first landing kayak fishing booth. I'll have some Marsh Works there. Green Tops will be there. Carries all of our Marsh Works products, so should be pretty exciting. I'm thinking my Daiwa rep's going to be there with the Daiwa booth, so sounds like it's going to be a really good show. What's that guy's name? Mark Davis from, what's his fishing show? Anyway, Mark Davis, he's got a fishing show on one of the outdoor networks. He's going to be there speaking all weekend. Several other speakers. I know they got the guy from Hatteras Jacks. He's going to be there, longtime surf fisherman, so anybody interested in some surf fishing, he's going to be there all weekend doing seminars, so should be a pretty good show. They filled the whole show up, and this is their first year doing it, so.
Also, since our friend Tom Matush is in the chat room, that Saturday he will be holding a Chad tournament to benefit MS.
That's right.
So if anybody else is interested in that, please hit up Mr. What is he? Fishing BRB. And he will give you more info on that tournament. Or maybe Tom can put up a link in the chat room to his Facebook page.
Yeah, always good to support anything like that. Very cool. And this weekend, locally, for anybody in our neck of the woods, the Great Bridge Anglers Club's having a swap meet. And the only reason I tell this is because if you want something, I, myself and Corey, what was that, 2 or 3 years ago, Chris? We cleaned out the garage of all that fishing gear we didn't need. Mm-hmm. Before the show actually started, we pretty much sold everything. I made like over $500 that weekend getting rid of just stuff I had laying around the house. But it's a great time. It's not only just a garage sale or a flea market type environment. There's a lot of tackle shops and other businesses that are going to be there. There was people all the way from the Outer Banks, North Carolina, selling tackle. And so that's at the Hickory Rotary Club, the Great Bridge Anglers Club. You can go look them up on the web and check it out. But it's really cool. It's a big, huge flea market, indoors, outdoors. They had all kind of stuff going on there for sale. So just a little tip for anybody in our neck of the woods, want to go check it out, maybe get some stuff you've been looking for. Look at that. I got you, honey. All right. So anyway, so that's about all I got. Obviously, I haven't been fishing, so I can't give you guys any fishing reports because I have not been on the water. I know I've been seeing a lot of stripers are coming back in, people catching stripers again around the Hampton Roads Bridge Tunnel and all, so... It's picking up again. Speckled trout in the Elizabeth River, I've been seeing hit and miss reports on that. So weather keeps going the way it is this winter. We should have a start to an early fishery. Find out when the croakers start hitting the nets out front. Then we'll know things are getting good when the croakers start moving back in. Tom, that's for you. But, yeah, that's usually the sign. Flounder and croaker are about the first two winter species that move back in. And when that starts happening, things are going to get going.
Don't forget the tog's been biting.
Tog, yeah, that's right. Tog's always biting. You just got to get your bait past all the other little fish to get to them a lot of the times. That's the problem with tog fishing. Got to get down to them. So, yeah, I'll be glad to get home and do some of that. Which that's coming up soon. A couple more weeks and I'll be out of here. All right. Well, we'll get going because we got our sitting here. We've been running my mouth long enough talking about the what's going on. Tonight's guest, as everybody's already seen, we've been putting it up, is Marty Mood. I've known Marty for a few years now. Marty's been around for a long time in the kayak thing. He used to fish back in the day when they had the Extreme Paddlers Tournament Series. Marty's a member of the Hobie Pro staff. Besides for being a KBF Pro staffer, and he's also on the Hook One crew with me. Marty's always see Marty around fishing on some form or another, freshwater, saltwater. So without any further ado, we're going to introduce our guest, Marty. Marty, you still with us?
I'm here, brother. How you doing?
I'm doing good, man. Doing good. Thank you for taking some time out of your Tuesday night to join us here.
Oh, my pleasure. Thank you for the invite.
No, anytime. You're always welcome on our show. Is the chat room beating me up too bad? I haven't been paying attention, but...
They're complaining about you talking too much.
Oh, well.
It's been pretty mild so far. I'm almost disappointed.
Oh, shouldn't have said that, maybe. Tell them to bring it. Tell them to bring it.
Yep.
Very cool.
Bring it on.
So, real quick, Marty, so how'd you get started in all this crazy plastic boat fishing that we all do now? What got you into it?
I was actually in flight school down in Corpus Christi, Texas, and a guy a few of you might know a little bit, Mr. Chad Hoover, was actually stationed down there with me. I met him down there, and we got to be great friends, and literally that was before I was married, and we were fishing almost every day. And really what started it, they do a lot of weight fishing down there. And in between all these beautiful flats in Laguna Madre, it's dissected by these deep oil ditches, oil canals and stuff. So you'd have, you know, you'd be on one flat and look over across an oil channel and another flat you couldn't get to by wading and see redfish tails or whatever. And that was happened to me one day, and I looked up and here come a guy in a kayak paddling with a fishing rod sticking out the back, and, you know, it's like the light bulb went off. I saw that, and I knew right then, and I was like, you know, it was one of those why didn't I think of that moments. And then I just unbelievably kind of out of the blue, I went home that night and was flipping through channels and happened to land on the original Hank Parker Hobie Outback show.
Oh, yeah.
and as soon as I saw that, it was like literally within 2 days, I saw the guy, I knew I was going to get a kayak and start fishing out of it. And then I saw the Hank Parker, and I saw the Outback. I'm like, that's the one I want. And that's how it started. It's been a great, great ride ever since, man. It's been unbelievable.
And with that Navy career, you've traveled around a lot and probably been fortunate to fish a lot of other areas and stuff like that too, huh?
Yeah, it's been unbelievable. You know, started in Corpus and then went to Jacksonville, Florida. You know, got to know a lot of guys there, like, that's where the Extreme Edge tournaments that you were talking about, got into that, and you know, really got to know some of the pioneers of the sport through that, you know, and being in Texas, Tom Stubblefield, I already said Chad, Dean Thomas down in Texas,
Slow Ride.
All the guys down in Florida, you know, can't even remember, went from there up to the Maine, and so much water up in Maine to fish, you know. You could live there a whole lifetime and never kayak fish all the water that's up there. Some of the big stripers you guys get down here in the winter, they're there all summer long along the Maine and Massachusetts coast. Just incredible fishing. And then the freshwater is unbelievable, too. Some of the smallmouth trips I went on last year, and guys would get excited about 20-inch smallmouth. You know, almost a rarity down here. And up there, it's almost a disappointing trip if you don't catch a couple 20-inch smallmouth on some of the rivers in Maine. Just unbelievable. You know, and now I'm here. So, yeah, Virginia, the Hampton Roads area is not exactly not exactly a bad spot to kayak fish either.
No, we've got a few fish here or there, don't we?
Yeah, it's pretty good, you know, here and there.
Yeah. I guess you can do both pretty easily from where we're at. You can be in fresh water or salt water in a matter of seconds, literally.
Yep.
Yeah.
That's cool.
I think that's right.
Oh, go ahead. Sorry.
No, I was going to say when you said Maine, I think that's where I first met you when you would come down to fish the TKA events with from Maine and stuff. I was like, man, this dude's coming all the way down from Maine to fish the Hampton Roads area tournament. So that was pretty cool. It's been a while now.
Yeah. It was, I loved it up there and the wall, you know, the stripers and smallmouth and everything else. But, you know, the tournament fishing is great because you get to travel around. I got friends in Texas, friends in Florida, friends in Virginia, and that's one of the great things, traveling around and doing old fishing, getting to see people again and reminisce with old friends. Some of them, sometimes you haven't seen them in a couple years. And then get to kayak fish on top of it. It's a great thing.
So where are some of those places, obviously, you just mentioned in the fishing, but Hobie's obviously helped a lot in that with being on their pro staff and all. So tell us about some of the things that you've been involved with Hobie.
Oh, yeah. Hobie's been great. You know, absolutely. I was one of the first pro staffers, obviously, with them. And it started out with the Extreme Edge tournaments. The first ones, I was in Jacksonville, and then luckily the first two tournaments were in Florida. And then I moved to Maine, like right in the middle of that first season, and Hobie actually came aboard. They started paying. They paid my airfare. They would put me up in a hotel, and they paid for the tournament fees and everything. So they've, you know, done more than I could even ever imagined. And it's been just a great relationship ever since then. Even through some of the changes at Hobie with the fishing staff and all that, just great support there. You know, pretty much anything I've asked for, they've been willing to work with me. I get to go, you know, from Maine. I was in Maine for 6 years, and from Maine I fished Florida, Texas, obviously Virginia, you know, all along the eastern seaboard. You know, so being full-time in the Navy and then still getting to travel and fish, you know, is a pretty good deal.
Yeah, it sounds like it. So what about with Hobie itself, so the evolution of Hobie? So we were talking about in the beginning with the Outback that you first started with. I know Hobie's come a long ways in their boats from the first fishing kayak, I guess you would call it.
Yeah, they came out with the Outback was the first one that was really marketed to the fishing crowd. There was the original Mirage kayaks, but they weren't really a fishing vessel. And then they decided to kind of make a fishing boat. The Outback was the first one. And the Mirage Drive, you know, everyone knows about it by now, but, you know, it was kind of a gimmick when I got in it, and I'd fish tournaments. And even the established kayak guys, I was getting looks from them like the established kayak guys are getting from boats, like, what is that thing you're fishing out of, you know? And I still get some of those looks, and they see me just pedaling instead of paddling. And I love it every time. And then so from the Outback, and then they really saw the popularity of the sport taking shape. They went, I think the next one was the Adventure, which is, you know, a nice big water boat, 16-footer, great glide speed and all that. And then along came the Revo. The Revolution 13 was the first one. And, you know, I thought that was, like, one of the perfect boat for just about everything. It was, you know, short enough to take on small water and be maneuverable and nimble in the water, but it was also long enough to handle big water. Excuse me. And then, as the Revolution was hitting the markets and you know, taking at least the Hobie crowd by storm, in the background, they started on the Pro Angler. And the Pro Angler was the first boat, I think, that they really, from its inception, it was built as nothing but a fishing boat. they weren't really worried as much about the recreational paddlers and all that. It was made as a fishing machine, and I tell you what, they really hit a home run. The sales of the pro angler have just been skyrocketing recently, and I get questions and through emails and through all the various forums. I get questions almost every day about the pro angler. Some of the recent videos and stuff, and the TV show we'll talk about here in a little while. I've been lucky enough to do that, and people see me, so I get a lot of the questions and all. And I really don't. People don't realize what a great fishing boat that is. It is a big, big, heavy boat. But once you get that thing on the water, it's unbelievable. It's nimble. It'll turn in its own radius. It's as fast, almost just as fast as the Revolution, faster and more efficient with that Mirage drive than a lot of your regular fishing kayaks. At the same time, you got a ton of storage. You can stand up, and I can literally walk around on the deck of it. It's that stable. So the comfort, the combination of the comfort of that boat, and as big as it is, and then still having the nimbleness and quickness on the water and all that, the efficiency of that Mirage drive is just, unbelievable. So, and that's where they are today. And really, it's going to be hard to top that one.
Yeah, you're right. It's funny you say that because I remember, it was at the first or second symposium when we were still doing the symposiums in Virginia Beach. And Garrett, he brought the first one symposium. You know, when he brought that thing in, I was like, holy cow, dude, because, the kayaks were still kind of, I was like, what, you got a little small Carolina skiff there with a Mirage drive in it? But, yeah, you're right. I have been in the Pro Angler, and it is very stable. You can just about, you can walk back and forth on that thing. It's a pretty cool boat, definitely.
I love it. It's actually hard for me to fish out of almost any other boat now, and one of the videos that we shot, it was me dragging through the woods and paddling it back.
I was just getting ready to ask you, how was that thing dragging it through the woods?
I've got so many questions on that one little episode. It's amazing. And a lot of them were, how was that the drag? And tell the truth, did you really drag it that whole way? And it was. It's not that bad. I mean, part of it was we were dragging through the woods, so there was a lot of it was leaf litter and pine needles and that sort of thing. So it drug pretty easy. So it's not too bad. Like I said, it's the little bit of, and a lot, a lot, there's a lot of technique and as far as putting it on. I get questions about, do you put it on a roof? And I do. I put it on the roof of my little Focus wagon. I got a F-150 with a cap on it, and I carry it up on top of that just as often. And it's a lot of technique, but once you learn how to do it, it's really not that bad. But when you get that boat on the water, it's worth the little bit of extra effort on land that you have to go through to get it there. It's an amazing craft.
Yeah, those of you who don't know what we're talking about, dragging it through the woods, if you go to Kayak Bass Fishing on YouTube, there's a video there where Marty and Chad went fishing, and they literally just dropped off on the side of the road, and they drug their boats through the woods for quite a while. And they had a little bit of a paddle, and then they drug them some more before they got to the flooded field that they were fishing. But that's why I was wondering, because Chad had those ropes around his shoulders dragging his, what was he, in a ride that day maybe? I'm not sure what he had. But
It was either a ride or his commander.
Yeah, and then you were dragging that big pro angler behind you, so that was something I would put down in my notes to ask you how that was, dragging it through the woods, and apparently other people thought the same thing.
there's a lot of questions about that. It's actually on the, if you go to YouTube, just go to the Kayak Bassin TV channel. It's on there. It's called Backwoods Bassin is the title. So
there you go.
And then,
check it out.
Yeah, this Thursday, since we're on that subject, this Thursday we're going to release, it's going to come under the title of Not Right Kayak Fishing. It's the first kind of a pre-release for Chad's new show. I'll give him a little plug here. But we shot an episode of that a long time ago before all the sponsorship stuff was figured out. And it's actually going to be on Kayak Bassin Thursday. It's a full-length episode, so, you know, 30 minutes, give or take. It's got commercials, the whole thing. Pretty much the same thing you're going to be able to see on NBC Sports and World Fishing Network. So look for that Thursday. Once they release it, you know, we'll put it out on Facebook and everywhere else too, but it'll also be on Kayak Bassin TV. So make sure y'all go check that out. Let me know what you think.
Very cool. So this Thursday on NBC Sports?
No. This Thursday we're actually going to release it through Kayak Bassin TV.
Oh, I'm sorry. Okay.
It's a sort of a pre-release of his show that will be on NBC Sports at the end of March.
Gotcha. Very cool. All right, well, talk about that then. We're a good little segue into the Hobie TV show. I know I happened to have caught the very first one, and lo and behold, who was on the first episode, but our guest tonight, it was you, and who was the other gentleman? You guys were fishing up in Maine, weren't you? Massachusetts.
Me and actually is Morgan Prominence. He's the fishing products manager at Hobie now. And that was actually off of we filmed it in and around the Massachusetts Bay Striper Shootout. It's a tournament that NewEnglandKayakFishing.com puts on every August. And I tell you, if you want to travel and it's another great tournament, and you want to travel and see some just beautiful country and all that, New England in August, get out of some of this heat down here, go up there and fish. Awesome fishery.
To get into kayak fishing, or you're an experienced kayak angler? Hook one.
Sorry.
Uh-oh.
Chris is getting a jump on it.
I try to copy the link for the chat room. Sorry.
That voice is like a nightmare.
Yeah, right? Yeah, gosh. Turn it off,
quick. We actually filmed that back, I believe, in 2010. And
it's going to do it again. I'm sorry.
What are you looking at?
Marty and I started sweating a little. Heard Chad's voice.
Yeah, that was rough.
There we go. Sorry about that.
Robbie said, hook one plug.
Yeah, there you go. We filmed it, it was originally a short segment on Americana Outdoors, Carrico TV Films. That's a show that runs on I think the Sportsman and the Outdoors channel. Fairly late last year, the whole idea came that for Hobie to do their own TV show, and they were able to use stuff they had already filmed through the Americana Outdoors stuff, add some never seen before footage, and so they decided they'd come out with a show. I think the original show debuted December 31st, I think, on NBC Sports.
Yeah, it seems about right, because I was back home for the holidays when I saw it, so yeah, it's probably about right.
And we tried to get the word out, but it was actually, I didn't even know about it myself until, you know, a couple days before it aired. It was three episodes of the original run. There will be repeats, so if you haven't seen it yet, keep an eye out. Hobie Outdoor Adventures is the name of the show. And also, you can go to, if you go to Hobie Fishing, the Facebook page, you can find links for the shows also if you haven't seen it yet. It'll be there. I don't have any details yet. I tried my best to pry it out of Keaton, who sets all that stuff up at Hobie. I don't have details on any locations or dates or anything yet, but we will be filming this year four shows to air in 2013 on NBC Sports. So once I get some more news on that, you know, I'll be sure to let you all know.
Very cool. Well, real quick, Eric. Eric Harrison wants me to ask you who won that tournament. I pretty much figured it out.
Some guy named Slappy, I think. He's a pretty good striper fisherman. Yeah, he's tough to beat up on his home water, that's for sure. That dude is a machine. Anybody who doesn't know, he goes by Eric Harrison. Most people know him as Slappy. And of course, he's kind of a local legend up in the Boston area. He knows Boston Harbor like the back of his hand. He's one of those guys that tells you what rock the fish should be at a certain, you know, at this, when the tide is right here, there's going to be fish at this rock. And he goes there and he catches a, you know, 48-inch striper. It's like clockwork. It's unbelievable. And you talk to almost
anybody who, Kayak Wars probably know who he is too, right?
Yeah, I was just going to mention that. If you want a testament to him, just check out our Kayak Wars team from last year. And I think he put up like 13,000 or maybe 12,000 of our 13,000 points or something ridiculous like that.
Yeah, y'all didn't have to fish, did you? He just let Slappy go, and then you stepped back and took the kudos with him.
Speaking of, just joined in the chat room, I believe.
Yeah, he was here. He was already stopping.
I just signed up my ringer and just let him loose.
That's right.
How's it going, Slappy? Good to see you in here.
Yeah. I knew as soon as you started talking about that, then I saw him chime in. I was like, he's lurking in the background. But you're right. Yeah, he definitely had. I kept up with him on the Kayak Fishing Wars thing, too. He did a heck of a job there for you guys. Very cool. Tell us a little bit about Hobie's involvement with the IFA, because I know that has really taken off very well in the sport here. So how is that working out for everybody at Hobie there?
It's actually going good. They're you know, obviously title sponsor of the kayak fishing part of it. It's in its third year now. Attendance is up almost every event. You know, things are looking good. Keaton tells me numbers wise they're going to be, they'll overtake the Jack's tournament, if you want to believe. Everyone says they're the
this weekend.
Well, excuse me?
Isn't the IFA leg in Jack's this weekend here, I think?
It is in Jack's this weekend. Jack's this weekend, I think Port St. Joe the weekend after that, and actually my IFA debut hopefully will be in Savannah the last weekend in March. So if anybody's fishing down there, look me up. I'm be good to, glad to talk to you, and hopefully you can show me where some fish are. But
All that noise dries up.
What's that?
I said all that noise dries up close. You know, when we first started doing all those tournaments and stuff, there wasn't this much web information out there, so you kind of had to know a few people wherever you were going, or else you just went pre-fish blind. Or, you know, when we first started doing all these kayak fishing tournaments, I remember, heck, I think I fished the second Jack's tournament, and I came down here to Jack's, and I was like totally like, wow, I don't know. They're like, well, we fished here last year, so we're going to fish there again. So I'm like, oh, okay, you know, but now it's like, with the internet and everybody out there, you can kind of lurk for a while and get some intel before you go fish a tournament somewhere else. At least a start, anyway, I guess.
Oh yeah, absolutely. And then that the whole thing about being in the Navy and traveling all around and fishing some of those early tournaments, I've got friends just about everywhere, so that helps a lot too. But
yeah,
the IFA is. We talked about the Extreme Edge tournaments, and you know, they were kind of they had money. It was a series with money payouts, and you know, a champion at the end, and that was just a lot of fun. And then after that, it was a while. There was kayak tournaments springing up everywhere, and there still are a lot of charity tournaments and benefit tournaments, and those are great. I love doing those. I encourage everyone to finish fish tournaments, whether you're a competitive guy or not. One of the best ways to learn about kayak fishing, see how guys rig, the pros, but see how guys who do it a lot rig their boats, see how they get ready for tournaments, watch them fish, and you really shorten your learning curve in a hurry by going to tournaments and seeing all those boats and all those guys in one place and how they do it. And the other thing is, it's just a, especially kayak tournaments, it's just a great social event. I mean, they're a ton of fun, I encourage everyone to do that. But they had the EF, and then there was a long gap there where it was just the charity tournaments here and there, Jack's, and the big East Coast ones for the longest time were Jacksonville, you got Jamaica Bay in New York, The guy I mentioned, the Mass Bay Striper Shootout, that's a really big one up in New England, you know, over 200. The last time I went, it was like 240, close to 250 people, you know, so that's a big one. TKA, obviously, another big one, you know, here locally. But the IFA has come on board, and they got back into, you know, a series, a whole set of tournaments, cash payouts. So the guys who are competitive and you know, like to compete against, you know, the best of the best, if you will, and that's really where it's at. You know, there's a lot of down in the South and along the Gulf Coast, but it's probably the highest level of competition as far as kayak fishing, I think, that we have right now. So I'm really looking forward to getting back into that. And, you know, they're a lot of fun just to do it, but also, you know, testing my skills against some of the other guys. So it's a good time always.
Yeah, tournaments, that's what I tell people. Don't get caught up in that quote-unquote tournament part of it. Just go, enjoy yourself, have fun. I mean, 90% of the thing is all that fun, fishing new waters, getting to meet new people. I mean, I made a lot of friends and people I still stay in touch with, and you know, from tournaments that I fished years ago. So you're right, just get out there and do it. It's a lot of fun. It's a good chance.
Absolutely. Like you said, new water, you learn a new water, new catching new species, all that stuff.
Very cool. So we had a question that blew by me there. Somebody was asking about reinforcing the rear scuppers for the Hobie carts. Is there any plan on that? So I don't know what he's talking about because I don't own a Hobie. But
yeah, the cart that Hobie sells is a scupper cart. There has been a few issues with the cart, I guess, causing cracks in the scupper holes. Most of that is honestly, from what I've seen, is like the pro angler has a deeper hull, and if you have the scupper cart that doesn't go all the way up through the scupper plugs, it can scratch in there and maybe crack it. I do know they've reinforced some of the scupper holes. I don't know brand wise, you know, which models and all that, but I can say that, and if anybody who has Hobie has dealt with their customer service, top notch customer service, and if they when they identify a problem like that, you know, they're really quick to jump on it. I can't comment if they're actually reinforcing any rear scuppers on any of the Hobie line right now, but if they identify that as a, you know, common problem, I'm sure they'll be on top of that real quick.
Sean Russell, are you reading the chat room there, wants to know, what product would you like to be seeing created to make your kayak fishing easier? I can't get much easier than in the pro angler, Sean.
Yeah.
Good God. What do you want them to have, a TV? You got a lazy boy. You got a TV?
Yeah, that's
pop-up flat screen.
Yeah, there you go. How about GPS? Let's just look at if there's one, I mean, you know, Yak Attack, Luther with Yak Attack has been coming out with so many products that are, you know, every day he's coming out, it seems like he's coming out with something new that is makes things easier. I love his new, the Park and Pole, his the slide tracks he has, or the gear tracks, I'm sorry. I've got those all over my Pro Angler. It's getting easier and better all the time. You know, it's kind of like the BASS guys and all the stuff they get on their boats. It's not long before somebody adapts that stuff to a kayak.
Well, I think that you Hobie owners, and especially the pro angler now, you guys are probably about to get your heads beat up with Yak Attack, because Luther just got a pro angler too, so he's probably going to be tricking that thing out, Pimp My Kayak galore there. So you're going to probably...
I actually just talked to him this afternoon, and he's like, I'm staring at my pro angler right now, and he was all excited. He rattled a few ideas off to me, and I can't really talk about too much of it now, but he is fired. He's been talking to me for months about getting a pro angler, and the day he finally got the yes, he called me up. He's like, I got one on the way. And he's beyond excited to get that thing and start rigging that out. He is he's like a mad scientist when it comes to that. You never know what he's going to do.
Go-Go Gadget Kayak. He's going to be the Go-Go Gadget guy. hit a button. There ain't no telling what's going to happen pretty soon with Luther.
Yep. He's got
a mind,
I'll tell you.
Yeah, he doesn't sleep. I don't know if he does when he does. I'm reading my notes now here. Sorry about that. Well, what else you got that we haven't touched on? Anything going on that we might have passed by? I know you and Chad just made a run down to the Gulf to do some more filming, did you not?
Well, I was along with him. I was more of a stunt angler on this trip. You know, some of the sponsorship stuff didn't work out the way we were hoping. it was a trip down to the Classic for me. Him and my wonderful wife, God bless her, she's home with the three kids for a whole week, so I could go down to the Classic with Chad. And that's a whole story. I could probably take an hour to tell that story about how she's never in 9 years of marriage, I don't think they ever to really pull one over on me, and she's been trying. And with Chad's help, they had people from work, people from kayakbassfishing.com, friends from all over in this big scheme, and they had me thinking that I could not go. After I got permission finally from her in personal life and work, I was able to do it, and all of a sudden they got somebody from work to make something up, so I couldn't go to the Classic. And for like 3 months, he just kept rubbing it in how I couldn't go, and then the night before my birthday, my oldest daughter came out with a present, and it was a bunch of travel accessories and stuff, and she says, "Surprise, you're going to the Classic," and I'm like, "No, I got work." She's like, "No, you're going to the Classic." So, anyway, long story, but I got to go a whole week. We've actually fished 2 days in Alabama at a place called The Waters, if any of you ever heard of that. Unbelievable bass fishing there. The weather was a little rough, but we still caught a ton of bass. No monsters like they're famous for, but we caught some really nice ones. 2 days there, and then we went fished 2 days in Mississippi, and met just both places, just some awesome people, had great hosts. And then we went from there down to Shreveport and just walked around the Classic. It was a little bit of pleasure and a little bit of work. We're doing some networking for Hook One and Kayak Bass Fishing, and I obviously got stopped by the Hobie booth. The Hobie booth at the Classic was a huge hit. Every time I was there, it was just, you almost couldn't walk around because the people packed into the area. And even when I wasn't there and I walked by, it was packed the whole time. So that was a big hit. And then the Classic itself, if you've never been, if you like fishing at all, I mean, that whole atmosphere is, it's kind of like the Super Bowl of fishing, the atmosphere and the stuff of the expo, and it's just phenomenal. It was a great trip. And the fishing was just, a precursor to that, and it was a blast. So got to thank my wife and Chad again. It was a great time. Caught some real nice fish, caught a lot of numbers. We battled, I think the one day in Mississippi we had about 40-mile-an-hour winds, so we were stuck to coves, and then the second day we had a cold front come through. But even with all that, we had a great time fishing. So
it was very cool.
Good stuff. And then we had... Chad got to film 2 episodes, so. But
cool.
I can't comment too much on that till it comes out.
Right. I knew that. I was just curious about the trip in general. Another question blew by, and I'm trying to keep up with the chat room. They're between heckling each other and asking questions on there. Someone asked, anyway, I saw basically, what do you see the future of tournaments going? Kayak, I guess, Pacific tournaments going. Do you see anything in the near future, or what's changes? Or
I hope the IFA thing really takes off and keeps going, building, and to cover a larger area, maybe in the Gulf Coast. That for one, I really like the official tournament setup where you have not only money payouts, just because I am a competitive person, that really gets the juices flowing. To have a series and you crown a champion at the end, that's a lot of fun. I think hopefully that it branches into the freshwater too. I know down at the Classic, We got asked quite a bit about the tournaments, Pat. I know Chad's got stuff in the works. If we can get the kayak thing going into the freshwater side and doing some freshwater, big-time freshwater bass tournaments, I really think in a few years it could be up on par with a lot of the stuff that the BASS guys are doing. Once guys get in kayaks and learn how to use them, you learn to get into places that the boats can't go, and then you realize that you can catch just as many and just as big fish, if not more, once you learn how to do it. It's addicting. And, I can't tell you, and I'm sure you know guys the same way, guys that have boats all their lives, and then they get a kayak and they start fishing out of a kayak, and they have so much fun with that the boat never leaves the driveway.
You're talking to one.
Yeah. There you go.
I owned a boat for years, yeah, and once I got the kayak, it ended up, I sold it. Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, and it's not just a money thing. It's there's something different about it, more intimate or however you want to say it. But once you get in and get that feeling, it's a rush. And I think if they get the tournaments established and get the sponsorship backing and all that, I think the freshwater side could be just as popular, if not more, than the salt. And where a lot of the tournaments have already been. So I really hope to see that take off and see not just the salt, but freshwater, big tournaments, some money, some good prizes, and just up the level of competition, just because that's what I like to do. And, plus I have that dream of, retiring from the Navy in 5 years and just being a tournament angler.
Gotta have your dreams, brother. Gotta have your dreams.
Yeah.
All right, well, here's the question that we ask all of our guests, and somebody kind of asked it already. Did you knock anything off your bucket list? But if you had the bucket list of fish, so what would be that fish that you've yet to catch? I don't know if you want to say exotic, something different. Of course, as a bass angler, you want to catch that 20-pound largemouth. Something, what would that fish be? What's your bucket fish?
There are still so many, like we talked about, I've been lucky that in the Navy and I get to travel all over. I mean, I fished in Iraq. I've caught, I've caught fish along the Euphrates River in Iraq, so a lot of people can't say that. So I've been extremely lucky. I've caught a ton of fish in a bunch of different places, but there are still so many fish that, I haven't got. Locally, one of the fish I want to catch more than just about anything locally, I want to get a nice cobia out of the kayak here. If I had to say anything, honestly, I think I would have to say probably Golden Dorado down in South America.
Wow. Yeah.
I watched a Larry Dahlberg show one time. I think they were catching them on topwater, and they almost looked like a great big freshwater tarpon with teeth. It was an amazing show. That's one. Obviously, I'd love to catch a big peacock bass, out of a kayak. There's tons of them. So, but those two, I think, would probably be the top of the list. If I had to limit it, to one or two, probably be big Golden Dorado, specifically on topwater, and then peacock bass as well.
Very cool. Very cool. Anybody else have any other questions? They're asking now, what's your breakfast cereal? They're getting a little punch happy now because they're asking what's your breakfast cereal.
There's a question here I need to answer. Robbie Mom says, what sticker did you want to give Sean, a shark? while we were traveling, the story to this one, because while we were traveling either, and honestly the whole week was such a blur, I can't remember if it was why we were going to the Classic or coming back from the Classic. Sean Russell happened to call Chad up and tell us he joined the member of the Turtle Club. And I'll save all the story for him, but those of you who know what that is, he got a little wet that day. I see his chat right now. But we decided that we were driving along, and we decided instead of a Turtle Club that when you're in a Hobie and do it, you get a shark instead of a turtle sticker or a Turtle Club, you become a part of the Shark Club. You got the fin sticking up and looks more like a shark back going down through the water than a turtle. So
that's funny.
Sean,
that's
I had a bust on you. Yeah.
Yeah, I'll tell a real quick funny story on that one. And then Al Stillman, of course, and I don't know if anybody else here knows Al, but long story short on that, Al, I don't know if he, does he still paddle with Hobie? I don't know if he's still with Hobie, but he was with Hobie a few years ago, and we were at the Subers tournament, the Forgotten Coast. Long story short, he flipped his kayak in like 2 foot of water. He flipped it, and so that night at the captain's meeting, Hobie had a bunch of stickers they handed out, and Chad and I went to the side, and we cut the Hobie, you know, the kayak out of the sticker, and we took another one and put that sticker upside down on top of the good sticker. Does that make sense? So there was an upside down Hobie kayak on the Hobie sticker, and we put it on his boat and stuff for him for the whole weekend. So he didn't live that down, flipping a Hobie in 2 foot of water. So that was a long weekend for Al down there in Florida. So pretty good. The Hobie gets a shark. Well, that's good to know.
Yeah, it's the shark with the fin sticking up. Somebody is asking about it, whether it was a pro angler. I will say it wasn't that. That one's almost impossible to flip unless you really try. But he was in one of the original Hobie Mirage kayaks, and not even a fishing kayak. So, I guess the lesson there is, you know, don't try and stuff 20-pound of potatoes in a 10-pound sack.
Oh man, double whammy. See, it's even funnier. Sean, if you didn't change your name, Sean signed on weeks ago as a different screen name, and then he changed it. See, if you didn't change your screen name, Sean, maybe everybody wouldn't be picking on you because they wouldn't know who you were if the other sign-in name. So you shouldn't have cleaned yourself up there and changed your name back to your real name. Let's see, somebody, what about the thought of pedal drive guys having to be on their own division? There are some here that push for it.
I don't feel the need for it. It doesn't matter what type of kayak you're in. I mean, it's still people power, and, you know, it's not the kayak that's catching fish. Now, I will say there, you know, I'm a Hobie guy, and I've always said there are some waters and some conditions that, you know, you're in a definite advantage if you're in a Hobie, but, you know, not everyone's going to fish out of a Hobie anyway, so I don't know. I don't want to call anybody a whiner, but that's kind of a touchy subject. I know some guys are pushing for that. You know, as long as it's people powered, I'm fine with it. I like being in, you know, one big division personally.
All right. I hope that answered the question from Chuck. Manpower versus motor.
Oh, now I'm getting threatened. Yeah. Now Sean's threatening me.
They've been pretty calm to you. Well, very cool. Well, we're getting... Was that Chris?
They've been very kind. I'm almost shocked.
Yeah, I'm all the threats ahead of time, I thought I was going to be in for it. So, but... No, there we go. Now he says, Chuck, Redfish Chuck, not me. I'll take the pedal guy's money. See, that's what I like to hear.
And Chuck's in Florida.
Yeah.
Yeah, Chuck's our Monday night host
on
there. So.
They're Slappy.
Very cool.
I would bet on most of the paddle pedal guys to beat the motors, yeah. I would bet on Slappy in just about any tournament, no matter if he's a motor, kayak, or, you know, whatever. I just want to throw out, there is one more thing, and I can't say too much about this, but just to pique everyone's kind of curiosity. Actually, I got two more things. We were talking about tournaments, and I didn't even get to mention the Hobie Worlds. I know a lot of you guys saw that this past year. It came together real quick, and, you know, we sent a team of Hobie guys all the way down to Australia. And it was actually, they called it the Hobie Worlds, and they had a huge tournament down there. It was actually six countries represented. I just want to make sure everyone knows that this year, Hobie Worlds will be in the U.S. They haven't nailed down a date or location yet. Probably be this fall. You know, keep your eyes and ears open for that. They're going to try and get even, you know, there were six countries last year. They're going to try and grow it every year. And that, you know, as much fun as the native tournaments are, you know, around here, you start getting, you know, some world competition in there, and I can't wait. I'd love to fish against guys from Australia and I think Singapore, and I can't remember all the other countries that are represented, but
Germany?
You know, I don't think Germany's in yet, but, you know, see what you can do. Bring some of them over here.
There you go.
You know what,
that
I
would be
have,
awesome.
You know what I would have to say to them, though, right? If I invite anybody, they'd have to be in a native folk.
Oh, well, like I said, as long
she's
as
not
she's
in the
power,
chat room,
bring
either.
It on.
Mm-hmm.
So the Hobie Worlds will be in the U.S. this year. I wish I could tell you to mark your calendar, but I don't know the date. But as soon as I do find out, I will be posting it everywhere, and I hope to see as many people as possible there. And then
well,
one
as soon
more,
as you know, you call
together.
In the show or call one of the evenings. You know, as soon as you get that info, call us here at you know, one of the Kayak Fishing Radio shows any night of the week and let us know when you get
absolutely.
That info. That'd be awesome to know, yeah.
Absolutely, I'll do that. And then one more thing, and this is another thing I can't go too much into detail, but I really want to pique in people's interest here. In the next couple weeks, there's going to be an outdoor club, if you will, and it's really going to be a game changer for any outdoorsman. It's going to change the way a lot of people buy. Not only existing products, you know, stores and tackle and all that. It's also there are going to be some new products that haven't hit the market yet that you're going to be able to get. And I'll go so far as to say it's going to change some people's lives. This is a huge thing. When it does hit the streets, you guys will all it'll spread like wildfire pretty quick. So a lot of you guys will know about it. All I can say now is it's like an outdoor club, and, you know, not only are you going to be able to save money and get all this stuff, a lot of guys are probably going to be able to make money at it. So that's all I can say right now. Look forward in about 2 weeks, and if you guys know me personally, either through, you know, Facebook or any of the websites, PM me, hit me up if you're interested, and I'll share some more info there. So.
Very cool. Well, I know that one myself, but I'll be quiet too. So
yeah,
right on target there.
So insider cool. knowledge. It's going to be huge. We've been having teleconferences, you know, almost every night the last 2 weeks, and the excitement is through the roof. So I can't wait to go public.
That almost sounds like coming out of the closet.
Yeah.
Hey. Okay, well, we got to go now. Nice to. No, I'm just joking. Very
somebody,
cool.
I'm waiting for somebody to come out of the closet in the chat room or at least say something.
Yeah. No, so they're calm. Well, if anybody doesn't have any more questions, we're rolling up on the top of the hour.
I've been talking so much.
We're
going to
get going,
but
Marty.
The chat room.
Let Marty get out of here tonight. Well, Marty, we thank you very much, man. It's been a pleasure. Anytime,
hey,
you're welcome to call
me.
The show. Just call, say hi, check in with us, let us know what's going on. If you get any more non-top secret information or something you want to share, by all means, please call in. We'd love to have you back on here.
Will do. I appreciate it. Thanks for having me. And don't forget, you guys go to the Hobie Facebook page. Like the Hobie page. They're giving away a kayak. They've been giving away a lot of other great stuff, Sperry topsider water shoes, ram mounts, Hobie accessories. So if you guys haven't done it yet, make sure you go like the Hobie Facebook page.
Also, Marty, yeah. All of your friends and followers, this radio show will be available for podcast for free on both iTunes and kayakfishingradio.com tomorrow.
There you go. So if anybody missed it, they wouldn't know it right now, but you can let them know, Marty, or we can put it up on your Hobie site or anywhere else that we can share it so they can get on it. Yeah, you just mentioned that, and you can answer this or not for me. I heard that when that first Hobie show came out, the one that you were on, that I guess they had a commercial on there that said just what you said, go like us on Facebook to enter your chance to win a Hobie kayak. And there were so many that Facebook actually, I don't know if it froze up or something happened to the Facebook servers because so many people had hit it all at once. They watched the show, and then everybody was clicking the Facebook like on the Hobie webpage. Did you hear any of that, or was that just some scuttlebutt?
I didn't hear about it crashing in Slater. I do know they had a huge influx of people liking, you know, within the next like couple hours after that show. An hour after the show, Keaton was sending me a text and said, feedback is already great. You know, he was, the feedback and all that stuff coming from the show was, they were thrilled with it, and that was a big part of it. They knew people were watching the show because the first 3 or 4 hours after the show aired, they had like an unprecedented amount of likes on the Facebook page. So, and that's why, one of the reasons I mentioned it here, you know, that people know that it had an impact with the radio show. Hey, go hit the like page and let them know that you guys were listening.
Yeah, and I think it's not just Hobie, too. I mean, it's the kayak. I think the fishing, you know, people really, we've definitely piqued everybody's interest now, kayak fishing. And I hate to say it because we still got to get to the water, but with the prices of gas going the way they are and all now, it seems to be definitely kayak fishing is huge. So there's a lot of resources out there and everything, too, to get your knowledge of it, not like it used to be. So kayak fishing is growing leaps and bounds. I don't think it's even seen the peak of the industry either. So
no, it's everywhere, like even down at the Classic, you know, it's really starting to gain, you know, some traction in the mainstream. You go to things like the Bassmaster Classic or, you know, ICAST, obviously, but, you know, any of the fishing expos where it used to be kind of a, you know, a gimmick or a side, you know, little side thing. It's mainstream now, and it's great to see. And it's everyone you talk to, it's one of the fastest growing segments of the fishing industry. We've got manufacturers now who are, you know, starting to cater to the fishermen, which was awesome. Obviously, you got gear manufacturers that are marketing to the kayak fishing world. So it's definitely, you know, it's taken off big time in the last couple of years, but it's. We've got a long ways to go, so I'm glad I'm
I don't
the
hear.
Ride.
Yeah, when I go to shows and all anymore, I don't hear like I used to in the beginning. You catch fish out of that, and they point to the kayak. Now people stop and just talk to you. You know, it used to be, you fish out of that thing? You know, now nobody even, it's not a, like you said, it's not a gimmick or just some passing fad. People definitely know, but God, I used to hear that all the time. You fish out of that?
Yeah. Oh, exactly.
Yeah.
I think every time I would launch, you know, every time I'd launch the kayak, the same thing. The stare. At the very least, you get the funny stares. But
yeah. At the least.
Yep.
Well, very cool, Marty. Thank you very much. You can hang around and do my little shameless get out of here goodbyes. But if not, you go ahead, and we appreciate it. And like I said, you're always welcome to call back in or call any night of the week at any of our other shows, which tomorrow night will be the landing crew, Mark Wheeler. Mark is also the local, you know, Mark, don't you? Mark's in Virginia Beach also. Oh, real quick, we're going to sign you up whether you like it or not. You're going to be involved with the Boondoggle with us coming up in October. You're going to be around for that?
Oh, absolutely.
Okay, so.
Love to.
Very cool. So we'll look forward to that. So the week before, we'll be fishing the TK event, and then we'll have you hanging out with us for the Boondoggle. So very cool.
Sounds awesome.
All right. So as I was saying, so we got Mark tomorrow night. Mark did not call in tonight, did he, Chris? I haven't been over there.
No, sir, he did not.
Yeah, so we don't know what's going on Mark's show. Usually Mark calls in tonight, and we can get a little before the show news from him. So everybody, tune in tomorrow night to the Landing Crew show. And then Thursday will be Chip, who's still lurking around. Yep, Chip Gibson on Thursday night. And we got Friday, the Wild West, the Spike and Ike show. They are on their California time now. So if you're still up late on the East Coast, you can tune in at 11 o'clock our time, 8 o'clock their time, for the Wild West show with Spike and Ike. And then we go all the way back around to Monday to Mr. Redfish Chuck, who's screaming boondoggle, boondoggle, boondoggle. Yes, definitely, Chuck. We got to make sure you and your missus get up there to our event, too. So, all right. So with that, we'll get ready. I'll do my little shameless plug for my sponsors and Native Watercraft, as always. We got Native coming to our neck of the woods here next month. Going to do some of our own filming that we've been doing with Native, so we're looking excited about that. That should be a lot of fun. Warner Paddles, of course, Marsh Works Lures. You guys go check them out. We're getting to that time of the year now where it's getting busy as crap over there, so everybody waits till the beginning of spring to restock their shelves, so we're busy pushing out lures over there at Marsh Works. Our Facebook page, Marty's got his Facebook page plug in, so I'm going to get ours in for First Landing Kayak Service. If you're not friends with us over there, go check it out. Click the like button, follow us. We'll be keeping you guys up on what's going on in Virginia Beach on the water, fishing. Help work us up to the boondoggle. Fishing will be picking up there pretty soon. I'll get home, and Chris and I will be hitting the water. You got anything you would like to add, Chris?
No.
Okay. Well, with that, thank you, everybody in the chat room, all the listeners tonight. You guys make the show. It's always good to see everybody. And we will see you next Tuesday night. Thanks again, Marty. We'll take it easy,
thank
everyone.
You guys.
All right, Chris, get us out of here.
Thank you, Marty. Thanks to everybody listening in. Tight lines, wherever you're fishing.